Good evening, and how are you all? This is your host, Deborah Herman, Mystic Medium Animal Communicator, and we're a few minutes late this evening. Each week, we talk about all kinds of issues of the paranormal, spirituality, self-help, soul odyssey, which is my favorite topic. We are a live call-in show, and you can ask for, if you want an animal communication reading, if you want a reading from the Soul Odyssey deck, you just specify, or you can join in our conversation and give us your opinions and your thoughts. The telephone number here is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I have with me this evening a new author and an old friend of mine. I'm so thrilled. His name is Bernie Fallon. Bernie, say hello.
Hello, Deborah.
How are you?
Great.
Before we get into our discussion, because Bernie's written a fabulous book that I've just started reading on myself called Goodology. So tonight we're going to learn some wonderful new concepts to help guide our lives in a positive way, very much in keeping with the things that we talk about on the show. And we'll get subtitle is Personal Development Through Good. So you meditate on that. I would like to do a great shout out to God above. Because I did, as some of you might know from just looking at my Facebook page, I had no idea that there were tornadoes in my hometown yesterday until I got a call from someone saying, "Are you okay? I heard that some tornadoes touched down in Western Massachusetts, which is where I'm located, and there were people who were killed. It was an absolute freak kind of thing. I do not understand the weather that's happening in the world, and I'm very, very grateful, and I also want to send out prayers to those who lost loved ones, who had damage, certainly the people still in Joplin who are rebuilding their lives. This world could use a little bit of goodology. So on that note, Bernie, what I've been able to glean from looking at your book is that you start off explaining about how I'm going to start out just with a quote from the middle of the book, because then you're going to explain what goodology is to all of us.
Okay.
You say in your book that the exercise of good is energy movement within you. Is that right?
That's exactly right. What it is, you think about it like an exercise, like you exercise your body, you exercise your mind, and what I want us to do is exercise your energy. Because when it gets down to it, the reason you may not attract in your life is because your energy is not flowing the way it should. What I do is I talk about the word current. And
Okay. The
word current, consistent in the word current, is movement and flow. So like an electric current, for example, the electricity flows through in a current. But if the electricity stops in Chicago in the winter or Phoenix in the summer, drastic action is taken to fix it. Our energy is flowing, but it's stopped inside. And then off of that, we oftentimes blame, we get angry, we regret. And these emotions don't serve us, but they do in the sense that we can locate our energy inside. So like our blood flows, and if blood stops flowing, we're in trouble. Air flows. If air stops flowing, we die. Water flows. If water is flowing through a hose and you kink it, the water's going to stop flowing. So what we want to do is locate the point of resistance inside. I say that all the energy in the world is good and positive and flowing. Any perceived negative is just resistance to that good energy. And it's at that point of resistance that we make a label. And then we start living in these labels. And so what I wanted to do with Goodology is get down deep, because I knew, I really felt when I started this a long time ago, although it was hard to put it into words back then, that we were never going to have great results if we kept working with the same labels. So I read a lot of books and studied a tremendous amount through spiritual topics and personal growth books and New Age stuff and everything.
And there is so much out there.
Yeah. And I just I kept reading, and it's, you know, I didn't want to copy and paste information. So what I did is I just listened to my inside. Does it work and does it make sense? And when I actually wrote it, it was just writing it from my heart.
Oh, I can see that. And I know that a lot of that it was a very thoughtful process for you, because it's reflecting the metamorphosis that I can see that you've been through. You kind of recreated yourself. I know that you, we were neighbors for a while, or at least I lived in the same town, and you ran the local grocery, and then I moved, and I think we kept in touch a little bit, but then we just really didn't hear from each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was the one who was just, you know, God only knows where, it's like, where's Waldo, you know, where's Deborah? And then, you know, we just really lost touch. So it's so nice to see the culmination of what appears like a very important and significant internal journey that you've been on. I'm very proud to say that tonight, I know you've been doing a lot of speaking and sharing of this information, actually, I won't tell people that this is one of your very first radio interviews. Should I tell people that?
Sure.
I'm just teasing. I'm grateful. I feel very honored, because I think you have a lot of very important things to say, and I'm enjoying your book. You make a statement that it's not always the sustainable answer, depending on the driving reasons for the activity. A person can have rippled muscles but still act like a dingbat. They say if you get it right, I love that.
Yeah.
They say if you give someone coffee to sober them up, you have a wide awake drunk. The issue is still inside, no matter how you paint it on the outside. So, elaborate on that a little bit. What were you thinking when you wrote that?
I think I talk about energy flow. Energy flow comes through us, and oftentimes a person may act to feed a pain inside. So if someone feels inadequate, they may put an extra amount of makeup on, or they may take an action outside that may take the sight away from that pain. So, and you know, and you've seen it before, where someone works out really hard and, you know, is the same person inside. So it's all good. It's fine. What I'm talking about is the energy inside, and where someone is really hurt. What I use as an example in a class, that you may sometimes see an actress that was hurt when she was younger, and then she works really hard to become an actress, and then later you see substance abuse problems because the issue inside was never addressed, and she kind of covered it up. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah. And we create, as we go through the process of life, we create coping mechanisms and survival mechanisms that you have to honor them for how they serve us at the time. But as we continue our journey, if we don't confront them and change them, they don't serve us any longer. They keep
us
stuck.
It's funny you say that, because I talk about that, and the word I use later in the book is a scab. A scab is there. It serves a purpose, but it vanishes after a while as the body heals. You know, we don't want to hang on to that scab and live in that label. We want the body to naturally process our emotions and flow.
So, in a way, what you're talking about coincides very well with what we talk about on the show, at least the listeners who have been, you know, with me for a while, know that I always talk about Soul Odyssey, that we're on this journey, that we learn certain lessons, and that part of our job here is really to progress, to grow, and to move ahead. So we're talking about very similar things. You want people to be able to look at the areas that are blocked, to love them, because that's really what accepting it all as good is about, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. One of the things I say is that, and this is interesting, is that we are constantly reading our energy and then acting accordingly. So if our energy inside feels uncomfortable, so if we feel discomfort or hurt inside, we react accordingly. If our energy is flowing and vibrant, our outer reactions are going to be different. We'll be smiling and happy. And so that's why the exercise of goodology is to live in the positive emotions. And so, and that the really important and cool thing is that the most important thing is embracing the negative, the dark side. So I say that all the energy in the world is good and inside of you is good. Even the worst part of you is good. And so the critical point is that we need to access the energy that's not moving. I call it stale energy, slowly moving energy, or sludge. And when we do that, when we get it moving and get it flowing, things happen automatically in your life. And it's such a great thing that, you know, like for example, just seeing you. It just happens. And then all you have to do with these opportunities is say yes.
Yeah, be the yes man or the yes lady.
Yeah,
and
you know,
be open
I'll give you another
to the experiences.
Oops, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. We're going to wind up talking over each other a little bit. That's just the nature of of these kinds of radio shows. But go ahead.
I was in Arizona after I sold my business, which I can mention a little later. I was in Arizona, and my dad is sick, and he has a painting business. So I went out to paint one of the apartments for him, and the maintenance man lifted up a heavy barrel into a grocery cart and he almost couldn't. He was an older guy, and he almost couldn't lift it, and I was going to help him. But I said, what do you have in that barrel? And it was a barrel of dirt. And coincidentally, at my condo in Arizona, in the patio in back, there was a sinkhole. And I needed dirt, but I didn't know where. I mean, what am I going to do, dig up my brother's backyard and take some dirt? I needed a lot of dirt. And honest to God, that was, to the last morsel, the exact amount of dirt that I needed in that hole. And so I filled it and leveled it off and put the bricks back on there, and it was all good. So
it's all
everything
good.
Is right there. You just got to say yes.
You got to say yes. You got to be open. You got to have your eyes open.
Yep.
Because if you're looking down, you're not going to see what you could see if you're looking up.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I want to remind our audience, I know that you're enjoying this conversation that I'm having with my friend Bernie. Bernie Fallon, his book is Goodology. You can look him up on the internet and on Facebook. You'll be seeing a lot more of him and his wonderful philosophy and his way of expressing himself. But we are a live call-in show. I know that some of you wait until the end of the show to call in and to get your Soul Odyssey card readings, and we get a little bit shortchanged because I want to explain some of it to you when I draw the cards. So don't hesitate to call in. It's 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. So back to you, Bernie. Explain some more tell us a little bit about what else happened to you when you went to Arizona. I know you started although I'm not sure of the time frame, you talk about some really difficult times in your life when you started to see things differently and developed more of this philosophy of how you could make changes. I think you sort of bottomed out a little bit, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I've had my issues, and it comes from the reason I think that I've got a good handle on this is because I've had, you know, issues with frustration or anger or drinking or smoking. So I understand what a person goes through. When I actually did go to Arizona, and I went there in actually 1993, and to me it was beautiful, palm trees, and I didn't know that I was in the worst section of town, and I loved it. And so it was those type of people that I was hanging out with, and oftentimes I had no money, and I was giving homeless people any little money that I had. And so that was my learning experience, and there were kind of bottoming out times. But as I continued, this is what I did. My goal in the beginning was to do good at a time when in your life when you start to say, what am I going to do with my life? And I realized that I just wanted to do good, and then I really took it to the extreme. And so I started studying nutrition. And I was really into something called natural hygiene, which is a system of cleansing your body through eating. And I really liked it. But it would be hard to be duplicatable because it was eating fruits, vegetables, and nuts and seeds. And it just people just weren't going to do it. Your energy level gets too high, and then you crash. And I realized that the change wasn't going to happen through eating. There was something deeper, and because I couldn't stick to the diet either. So I studied environmental health, thinking that a logical argument, you know, if you can protect and treat the planet well, then your life will change. And an intellectual argument didn't work because I would see people driving large gas-guzzling vehicles, and I realized so those two things were out. So I had to get deeper and deeper. And as I did, it got more uncomfortable. But with that, I knew that I was connecting with my energy. So then I moved into spiritual health. And for me, it was people, earth, God, which is my grandmother's name, Peg. And it was nice because, you know, I really felt that she embodied what love is, and those three elements all tied together. When I got to the spiritual health, I was really getting into the energy inside of myself. And things started happening automatically. I got a job as a corporate trainer, and it was so much fun. I traveled everywhere, and I had a philosophy where more than business acumen, there was one question that dictated my success, and it was, how can I be of service? How can I help? How can I make your life easier? So as a trainer, I did that, and the people felt support, and in every city that I was in, we always did better. And so I really started accelerating with that, and I loved this philosophy of good. How can I do more good? The more I did that, the better the people did. And then it was after that I met you at the store.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's that's so amazing. So when you were a corporate trainer, were you living in Arizona or the Berkshires?
Yeah, I lived in Phoenix.
And then you moved back to West Stockbridge.
Yep. And right about then, I was just about ready where I said, okay, I know what I want to write, because I was studying like crazy, and I was having good results, and the confidence level was very high, but there were issues back home. And so I came to help out. And you know, I kind of, in a way, I had my feet were dragging a little bit because I had this project, which was writing a book. But the store was in such rough shape that it took all my time, and I was there all day long, usually 14 hours a day, and most of it was on my feet. And but
I remember.
Well, it was nice because people like you would come in, and that's inspiring. And so, and the customers and the feedback I would get from the customers was great. And the store got better and better and cleaner and cleaner. And after 7 years, I ended up selling the store. And you talk about alignment and things going well. When I decided to sell the store, I did meet with several business brokers, but when I found the one that I liked, the fourth one, he was outstanding and so good. When we listed the store, we had two offers right away, and both
wow.
were full price. And so a couple bought the store, and then when in the process through legal and everything else, we did it about as quickly as we could. So in within about 4.5 to 5 months, the new owners were in the store, and then I spent a month and a half training, and then hit the ground running on my writing project.
That is truly amazing, because I remember we had just moved into the area,
mm-hmm.
And like I said today when you came by, I said, I knew there was something special about you, because we had only started really comparing notes on our varying philosophies. I don't know that you fully knew my interests in spirituality. And I mean, some of it, I remember we had some good talks. And I know you knew about our work as agents and all of that. So it's just so much synchronicity. And I really believe if you look at people that are in your path throughout your life, there's a reason for it. And quite often they'll return, even if it's years later, because spirit had a reason for it. And you just, you know, and time doesn't, we have to compare what it's like in the universe compared to how we measure time. You weren't ready 7 years ago or 8 years
ago. You're so right about that, yeah.
And it had to gel. I mean, it's like you were able, and you know, I don't know how you came up with Goodology, but I know that I worked with these seven lessons that I teach on the show and that make up the crux of the deck for years. I mean, I've been studying and learning and teaching and talking and schmoozing, you know, since I was, I won't say how old I am, but I'm no longer in my early 20s, which is when I started this whole thing. And I couldn't think of what to call it. And then one day in the shower, spirit revealed, or however I hear it in my mind and in my brain, I heard Soul Odyssey. And I imagine it's kind of the same thing for you, where it just gelled.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. The word good I liked, because my grandfather.
It's you. Did
yeah.
he really? Tell me.
Yeah, he used to say it all the time. You know, whether it was, oh, that's good oil, that's a good car, he's a good guy. And my mom has such passion for people. She sees beauty everywhere she looks in people. And it's just, you know, so I was surrounded that. We used to, when we were little, we would walk by her room, and she's sitting by herself watching TV with a grin, a smile on her face. Sometimes she's sitting there by herself laughing. And one of the hard parts, when I came back to the store, it was my parents that owned that store before me, but they had different jobs. When I left, after all the concern with all the issues, that, you know, mom wasn't as happy during those years, I bought a house, which was my grandparents' house, and my mom moved into it. And when I was leaving for Arizona, I walked by the room, and there she was, sitting on her bed watching the TV with that huge smile on her face, so I knew everything was okay. But in the 90s, yeah, it's a good feeling. There was anything I did was with the word good. I wanted to, like, I had a screenplay that I was writing and kind of working on with a character with the name Good in it. I wanted to do something called The Good Club, and this was right in the mid-90s, but there was another one called the Get Out of Debt Club, so I never pursued that. And then Goodology I had on the back burner, and then, you know, for as long as I researched it, there was no Goodology, so I hopped right on that.
Well, now there is Goodology.
Now there is.
And Goodology is you.
Yeah, I was talking to some kids today, and these kids are probably 12 to 17 years old. And I spoke to kids at the jail, and these other kids are at the Salvation Army. juveniles that have to be there. It's court mandated. So they've got some issues that they're going through, but they're such good kids. And their energy is positive and good, which is sometimes resisted, so they react out and then labels form. But these kids see this word goodology, and you know, when they were born, there was no word goodology. And now they can live the energy. That is one thing that I talked about today with those kids, is that we talked about currency, and I said, what else moves in a current? And one of the kids said, time. I said, perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for. One of the two final answers, time moves. And I said, it's a different now moment right now than it was when I started. And they agreed. So they see that time is moving. And, you know, we don't want to live in the past, or we don't want to get worried about the future. We want to live right now. And when they do that and live in positive energy right now, they're living in a more healthy state. And then the other thing that moves in a current, as in currency, is money, and they came up with that one. And what we talked about and really, really dug into is that the currency of money, they can understand, but an even stronger currency is that of kindness, compassion, and love. And I want them to feel that inside. So through all different possible angles, we're talking about these principles with the kids, so that they can get their energy flow into excitement. And when they start feeling that, these other energies, the frustration dissolves, the anger dissolves, and the blame and the denial can dissolve. And then I put a post on my Facebook page today that said, you know, if these kids don't have positive influence at home, then I think that's exactly what we should do. Every time we see any of these kids, tell them how awesome they are.
Because I couldn't agree with you more. There really are no bad kids.
Right.
You know, that's we like to label misbehaving or at risk or whatever you want to call them kids as bad kids. They're you know, I learned long ago that these kids are acting out because of their own survival mechanisms, because they're in a world that doesn't work for them, and they feel very powerless and don't know how to navigate through their feelings. They don't know how to make a difference in the world around them. Being 15 especially, you don't have a license. You don't you can't really work. And if your parents don't have it together, you don't have that guidance and that support, where are you? So you develop these acting out behaviors. So how would you instruct a young person to get in touch with the areas of energy that are sludgy, as to use your word?
Yeah.
How can they start to have that self-awareness?
What I talk about is, you know, you have to be genuine and honest. And, you know, and I'll go in right away and tell them how awesome they are. I really want them to feel special. So it's what I'll have the kids do is do something, anything like raise your hand and say, all right, now who did the raising of your hand? And they say, I did. You are in control. You're in control of everything. Even the reactions that are so subtle, like anger, where it seems like you don't have control, you do actually. And later in my book, I talk about this, like a compression inside and an impression. I talk about how we go down inside of ourselves and then react off of energy. And they have control. And so I want them to feel like they're in control. And then with that, we get into positive energy. So if they feel their negative energy, we want to live in areas where you're saying thank you. And well, just as an example, I know that when I left, each one of them said thank you so much from their heart that it was a transformation, because they weren't capable of that at the beginning of my talk, which was just, you know, an hour before. And I have them do exercises at night where you may want to pick someone that you dislike and feel that energy of dislike, because that dislike, You know, if you think someone's an idiot, I said, if I think someone's an idiot, where is that created? And one kid said, in your head. And I said, you're exactly right, in my head. So, and it comes from my body, my resisted energy, my sludge. So we want to locate that energy that originated that label and get it moving. And we do that by sending out love, appreciation, gratitude.
Yeah, but what if someone is an idiot?
That's still just a label. You know, it's funny. Like, I talk about, you know, those TV hosts up the dial. There's some in the news that are, you know, political, and one's on one side and one's on the other side. What we do, we watch them, and we buy into their anger and their level of negativity. And then we may not even agree with them, but we're acting negatively later just because of that. And we live in that same energy. Or the other one, that if there's an abducted child, you know, it's sick to think that. But, you know, to continue to sensationalize it is continuing to live in that energy. And so what we want to do is do everything we can to locate the energy inside of ourselves and make ourselves more powerful, more positive, and stronger. And the other problems will dissolve much more quickly.
So it's creating a different perspective and reality within ourselves.
It's almost like uh-huh. Winging it. You know, and I say that
it's
because...
It's almost like, pardon?
I said winging it.
Uh-huh.
I say that because if you just trust and have faith that living in positive, happy energy and letting that energy flow and sending out love and smiling at people, and if you trust that is the way that energy should be, you're developing a synergy with the greatest power, and so your power of attraction increases. And so, you know, what we do is we want to measure everything and evaluate and say, okay, well, if I do this, what will it bring me? We're kind of portion controlling our lives, and so I want to reverse it. And instead of being so concerned and cautious about everything, I want to locate the sludge or stale energy inside and love it, love ourselves, and give that energy, throw it out, because it's an infinite flowing energy inside. The more you give away, the more you have.
So talk about when you were living in the bad area of Arizona and you were giving things away. You went through a real transformation. I know you started to talk about that, but let's talk more about that. When did you really, you know, the turning point for you there?
Oh, boy. You know, I don't know if there was a single turning point. It was a constant attitude that I want to help. But, you know, I kind of sensed that if I was going to help in the way that I wanted to, I was not going to be able to do it with the energy level that I was living. And I didn't know how to increase it. So, you know, while I wasn't able to make myself have more. I had a painting business. And so I would employ the homeless people. And I even turned it into an apartment cleaning business. So I had two things going that I could, you know, get people to help, but I was giving money away. And so what I never did is build the stability in myself. And the reason that didn't happen, and this is what I'm picturing is like 1996, when I had that painting business. The reason it didn't happen is because that energy inside, I didn't allow it to flow, and I hadn't located it yet. So it was around that time when I started feeling that discomfort and realizing that was actually positive energy, just resisted.
So when did you get in touch with that, with the resistance?
I got in touch with that between, I would say, 1998 and 2000. By the time I remember specifically, but when 2000 rolled around, you know, I was at the point, and I was just starting to, you know, have good success in the corporate world, but I made a decision that, you know, the heck with everything else, I was really going to pursue this good, because it didn't matter any success that I had if it wasn't serving something, you know, wholesomely good.
And serving humanity. So you must have had a spiritual awakening.
Yeah, I think that came when I decided that I would do good. But you're right, I think the spiritual awakening actually did come around then. Then one of the things I remember studying, and do you know about the Pathwork lectures? I don't know how to pronounce your last name, but it's kind of like Abraham, Esther, and Jerry Hicks. And there's either like 176 or 276 lectures, and they're each about 10 pages, 7 to 10 pages, and that was so good. And I just kept reading those and rereading those and thinking and just measuring with myself. Does this make sense? Does this work? And then I would just forget about what I read and try to feel it inside. And that's how everything happened. So during that time, I would really feel like I was getting a handle on it. And I would do things like fast, because I had studied fasting. And I'm not recommending this to people, but I really wanted to feel like my emotions head on, you know, without being covered up by lots of food.
So it looks like the person who gave the lectures is Ava Pierakos?
Yeah, I was going to let you to try to pronounce it.
Is that how to pronounce it?
Actually, I've only read it, so I as far as pronouncing it, Pierakos, I would say, you know, Pierakos.
But it's Pierakos. It's an international Pathwork Foundation, and I always like to know new things. This is evidently she's done 258 lectures given by her over a 30-year period. It's from 1957 until she died in 1979, and it's a roadmap to self-responsibility, self-knowledge, and true self-acceptance, genuine love of self, others, and the divine.
That's right.
This looks fabulous. I always like to recommend new things to our listeners, and it's called, again, the International Pathwork Foundation. We'll examine that more closely in the future for a future show.
It was so good. It's been 11 years since I've seen it, but I would love to read each of them again. I don't think there was anything else that had such a positive, that I resonated with so well as those lectures.
Well, you know, you'll find the information in many different places, because truth is truth. And if you're resonating at a high level with spirit and with the divine spark that's within each of us, and you get in touch with that energy, and I'm sure that that's part of the, that we're talking in different ways about the same thing, this current, this currency, this energy that's inside each of us. When you can resonate with it in a clear way where it's not blocked, then you can be in sync with everything that's operating at that level. And it all comes from love. It all comes from the divine spark. So
absolutely,
you're basically on the spiritual path, which is, you know, what we like to call soul odyssey and what you're calling goodology. Mm-hmm. And the Pathwork material, I'm sure, supports everything that you're saying. And eventually, as you were working with it, it just resonated and became cohesive with your own vibration. And you're able to put your spin on it because you're an individual with your own connection to the divine. Right. So I think it's awesome.
It really is.
How's that?
That is wonderful. You mentioned, you know, you talked about a turning point, and I do remember reading one passage. Now, there's a lot of material there, but I remember one statement that really hit me. And this is way back then, and this was a turning point. I said, oh, wow, okay. It was, and then this is, I kind of, you know, I have my own expression, and but it's the same, you know, it's the same meaning. I say that all of the energy in the world is good, and I think they said positive. And but that was it, and I say that any perceived negative is a resistance to that good energy. But that was just so meaningful to me. All of the energy in the world is positive, and I thought, yes, I agree. And that kicked off everything. And I was like, this is what I was trying to say for the last. And I just had someone who I trusted after reading all that stuff to verify, and then I really felt confidence in just going forward. You know, I'll just say something else, and what it was is, you know, growing up around my mother, she was so positive and happy, and you know, I looked at her as a single mom, but she was so strong in that, not that she was academically intelligent, but she was intelligent in the sense that she listened to her, and I don't even want to say her heart, but her energy. And that intelligence came up and told her what to do as far as raising kids, you know. And she would say to herself, I know that I should love these kids with all my heart. And that was giving us fuel. And it was that bright, positive energy that that I kind of adapted and just kept and ran with.
Well, she certainly did a good job with you. You're just awesome. So for those of you who want to learn more about Bernie Fallon and his book, Goodology, you can find him on the Internet. What is the name of your website?
It's simple. It's www.goodology.com, GOODOLOGY.com. Facebook.com/goodology.
You go to his website, you'll see you can certainly purchase the book online. You go to his website, you'll see his bright, smiling face. I would have provided my Facebook friends with a picture of him, except I'm still sometimes, on occasion, not often, computer illiterate, but I'm working on that. So you'll get to see Bernie's good and smiling face, and you can see all of his positive energy. And continue to follow as he shares his positive philosophy with others. He's doing a lot of work with young people. He is available for speaking. You can like him on Facebook and follow him on Twitter. For if anybody is interested in a last-minute Soul Odyssey reading, get in there, 888-815-9756. We will not be live next week as I am once again traveling and finding new adventures to share with you. The following week, on June 16th, we will have a very, very special show on electronic voice phenomenon, that is, contacting your loved ones who have crossed the veil. I will have two experts on EVP. They've been on the show before, Margaret Downey and Lisa Houston. They will be my very special guests. And I have an even greater surprise for you. When I was traveling in California, I had my very own EVP session with my husband, and some very amazing things happened. I'm not going to share them with you now. You will have to wait until February 16th. I'm sorry, not February. Where is my mind? June 16th, here on BBS Radio. Tell your friends. Share it on your Facebook. I will be sharing with you actual EVPs that I heard that have proven to me beyond any doubt that EVP works, that we were in communication with our loved ones across the veil. So I want to teach you about that and share that with you on June 16th. You can prepare ahead of time and look up EVP sessions on the internet and learn about Lisa Houston and Margaret Downey and their work with EVP. Getting back to you, Bernie, we have 10 minutes till the hour. I told you the time was going to fly. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
I will mention one of the things that we do on my Facebook page is I like to get good stories from people. Anything that they do that's good and that's refreshing, that makes someone breathe easier. And what I like to do is take that and post it on my page, and then other people can read that and go, oh, that's a good idea. I like that. And so, you know, I'll have contests sometimes, you know, with good acts, and I've got another one starting soon. So that's what I do on the Facebook page. And I think that's important because, you know, doing good is great, but it really illustrates your energy flow. You know, if you're giving and doing good, you're not holding on to that sludgy energy inside. You're letting it flow, and you know, you're showing appreciation and gratitude and thanks.
What I would like to point out also, I'm sorry, did you have more?
Nope.
I'll get back to you in a second. We still have 10 minutes, and I'm going to use every one of them. But one of the things I want to point out, and you do talk about this in your book, I noticed quite often, is that good is really an antidote to fear, because there's so much fear going around right now. And even those who are very much on a spiritual path, people I respect, spiritual teachers, maybe we're getting messages of doom and gloom, and there is a path that we as human beings are following now that could have some very uncomfortable results. Many of us are experiencing financial difficulty. We are experiencing struggles at home. All of these things are part of being human. But the only true things that we can change, we can influence things that happen in our lives. But the greatest thing we can change is how we look at things and our thought process. So I'm totally with you, Bernie. If we transform the fear, the worry, the anxiety into love, positivity, and doing what we can to do good and to bring positivity into the world, we don't have to have a negative scenario in the next couple of years. We don't have to buy into doom and gloom,
right,
and this poverty mentality and all of that. We can change it.
Right. We live so much in defense mechanisms. Look around and just see how people react. And even in conversation, someone will be defending their position in a matter of moments. And what they're really doing is defending a feeling inside. And that feeling is that sludge that I talk about. I think that when I was thinking about environmental health, I thought, okay, now it was my you know, opinion after reading John Robbins' book Diet for New America a long time ago that a vegetarian diet would have a positive effect on the planet, and it, you know, whether it was right or wrong, it was my. But I realized then that people were going to eat to match the level of vibration that they have inside, and I don't use the word vibration. You know, I use sludge or slow energy, and that's exactly what happens. You know, and if they don't, they get kind of nervous, and so that. And once we raise that energy level, everything else will happen automatically. So that's where I wanted to focus. Now, it's uncomfortable sometimes, but just like you just said, you talked about defense mechanisms earlier, and you talked about living in positive energy right there. The more we do that and do it gradually, the good things are going to happen. They're going to follow as naturally as a tree growing. You know, we just have to, the biggest word, it's not glamorous, is allow. You know, and I say it's not glamorous because, you know, our world is pretty full of glamour right now, but allowing is really allowing yourself to grow and let that energy flow.
Well, I like the image of the tree, And as you were saying that, it must be a joke from my spirit guides, but I got this image. We don't pull on the top of the tree to make it grow. You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't pull on it on the branches to make them grow.
Oh, so
we
good,
don't
yeah.
make the leaf. You know what I'm saying? It grows naturally because in its own time we can't see it. It you know, even though one day you wake up and the leaves are now green, nature has its own time frame. It has its own process, and we're often in conflict with the natural process of our own journey and our own development. And we are impatient and we want everything yesterday. And we're not in alignment with sometimes what I like to do and what I like to recommend that people do is sometimes when you wake up, just say a prayer. First of all, say, gosh, I'm glad to be alive today. Thank you for bringing me to this day, universe or God or whatever you like to say. And how can I serve? What can I do? How can I live by my own destiny? And once you do that, you're opening up your life to all kinds of things, and you're not deciding ahead of time what the outcome should be.
That's right.
We are getting close to the end of our time here, Bernie. I want you to say a quick goodbye to all of your new friends. And tell us again how we can find you and your book and learn more about your Goodology.
Well, first, I want to say thank you to you for the past several years. And just knowing you has been great and a blessing for me. The website is www.goodology.com. That's GOODOLOGY.com. And the Facebook page is good. You can click on that and like it, because there's a few different things going on there. That's facebook.com/goodology. And you were just talking about that we're impatient and we want things to happen, you know, right now. And it's because we're feeding that uncomfortable energy inside. And when you feel that uncomfortable energy, it's gold. And turn that into healthy soil. The healthy soil that makes the tree grow is the same as our healthy soil would be. Kindness, compassion, love, and that morning prayer idea is wonderful, because you kickstart your morning with positive energy flow, and once you do that, you own it. You have permanently increased your power. So again, Deborah, thank you very much. It's been so nice to be talking with you.
It's a blessing for me too, Bernie. It was great seeing you today. So thank you all. For joining us tonight on Soul Odyssey Radio. Remember that next week we're going to have archives. Please do listen. Take advantage of listening to some of the shows you might have missed. But don't call in, because nobody will be here to answer your call. You can always reach me at Deborah@soul-odyssey.com. My website is soul-odyssey.com. So, June 16th, EVP, send me your suggestions for future topics you'd like to hear on the show. And Bernie, we would love you to come back anytime. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
bye,
good
everybody.
Night. Bye.